were on Thursday, April 7th. Time is running out on this legislative session. President, it's a House Labor and Commerce Committee meeting. President Pro Tem Kopanen, Bernard, Furness, Davidson, Ellis, and Donnelly. And first matter coming before the committee today was CR 54 related to management of mobile homes owned by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Is there anybody here to testify on this legislation today? Well, I was hoping Henry would stick around and just tell us what this thing's all about.
Henry,
but there's nobody here to testify on it. I'm inclined to just hold the bill over until next week until somebody can explain.
I can tell you about it.
Okay. Would you like to come forward?
I mean, I'm just familiar with this whole problem, this whole issue, but I'm not so sure. Like, for the record, my name is Larry Bisling from the Marcy Bank. I'm not so sure I'm more familiar with it than you folks, but as you know, we've been spending $375,000 a month to keep these trailers and trailer parks. And this is simply a suggestion that we do something about that. And if I read it correctly, they're suggesting that some be removed from, some be just, I have alternate ways of managing and success mobile homes, including demolition, sale, storage and storage lots, and mobile home parks. Sales out of the market within and outside the state. So in the Subcommittee for Economic Recovery, the Housing and Banking, they looked at all these different problems, or all these different alternatives, and this is what it's suggesting. Didn't do a very good job. Yes?
The one question I have is,
Representative Kopanen, do you have a question?
Why do Mr. Chairman, why sales outside of the state? It would seem to me that, you know, if we have a depressed economy, there are people who may not be able to buy mobile homes at the, you know, at market rate, but they would be willing to buy one at a depressed rate. I'm not suggesting selling them all at an auction or something like that, but one of the few advantages of a decline in the general economy is something that comes cheaper.
The testimony that I heard would say that you have a tremendous excess of supply, and that supply goes across stick-built homes to trailers to condos, etc. And if you sell trailers and someone moves into the trailers, mobile homes, you're not taking care of the general problem. You're simply leaving more condos empty. And then until you affect the oversupply as a whole, you're not attacking the problem.
Well, the figures that we've seen from the Anchorage market has indicated there's been a movement upscale in the market, but there are people who are still very far down on the economic scale. And as I say, whereas maybe selling or demolishing or doing something with most of the homes, it would seem that there would be at least a small share of the market that might be local.
Well, and it says this. It says sales. It doesn't disclude sales within the state. It's simply suggesting that with 4,000, I think it's 4,000 or 2,000, I think, foreclosed mobile homes in possession of HSC, you're not going to sell them all in the state. You sell what you can in the state. In fact, they had a marketing program right now. They do have a mobile home storage lot. They have increased their sales tremendously. But as they sell them, more are coming in foreclosed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Furness?
Mr. Chairman, I noticed we do have Commissioner Smith here today, who, because a lot of it comes within his department, maybe sits on the board. Perhaps if he's available, we'll respond to a couple of questions.
Certainly, Representative Furness.
No,
I'm chairman of
Alaska Housing Finance.
I came out on 52.
Reluctantly,
just got a couple questions, Mr. Chairman.
Please,
Commissioner. We've heard the figure of some 2,000. I assume that that's probably relatively
mobile homes.
Yes,
1,200.
1,200. That's on the market. I guess my question is, we've heard this idea of perhaps taking these units and taking them outside of the state of Alaska, and in order to somewhat lower that inventory, I assume that, for the most part, Alaska Housing has an outstanding obligation on those units. And somehow, you either will be forced to simply write those off, or you'll be forced to sort of hold those values, or at least hold those loans at a standstill to a point that you can turn the market around. So what is happening then as far as the value of that portfolio? And are you having to simply write them off?
The value of the mobile home portfolio is taking a real hit at this point in time, and there is a real concern of increasing the amount of defaults if you destroy any market for mobile homes. I reviewed the House Concurrent Resolution 54 and didn't find anything in it that I thought created a problem, because it says that Alaska Housing Finance Corporation should manage its mobile homes and other properties in concert with other institutional investors to deal with the supply and demand problem. I think that's correct. For the board and management, the biggest difficulty with the mobile home situation is it seems easy to solve the supply and demand problem on the backs of the mobile home side of the market. And we've had some difficulty playing God in that regard, and are working. In other words, if a trailer park owner, we all hear about the trailer park owners that are demanding a full space rent. But if a mobile home park owner is willing to reduce his or her space rent, is it our job to put them out of business because it's an easy way to deal with supply and demand? So it's a complex issue, and the executive director has spent a lot of time on it, and the board has. And I think that this resolution is consistent with what the board's trying to do. I think that mobile homes are an area where under certain circumstances, we can solve some supply and demand problems and upgrade our community. And that's what the board and the staff are trying to do. And so I would say that this is a resolution we should pass. We've got roughly 4,000 units that we've taken back so far, predominantly condos and mobile homes. 12 of those are mobile homes. Paul Wood at the Alliance Bank has 1,200 housing units, vacant housing units out there. There's probably another 1,800 in the marketplace. And what I understand this to be is to manage them all in concert with some view to making some prudent business decisions, and we're trying to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Smith, on this then, the last time I heard the figure, it's been gradually going up.
Yes.
And looking in your crystal ball, what are we looking at?
We're poised right now and expect at the next board meeting, which is, I believe, the 14th, to approve HOPE 2, which will be a program for people who are current but need help to stay in their homes. And we're working, and hopefully we'll have HOPE 3, which will be anybody whose interest rate is over 10% would get some relief. So we're very hopeful that these programs that are there, and we're working with MGIC and Fannie Mae on, will stabilize the delinquency rates and stop the flow of homes back to us. However, last week I met with Glenn Buzzard, the executive vice president of MGIC, and he was indicating to me that 50% of the condo loans that they are the pool insurance on are delinquent. So when you look at condos, and particularly condos and trailers, it's still pretty tough out there.
All right.
Okay. Further questions for the commissioner?
It's landed.
Okay. Is there any other member of the public here to testify on this particular proposal? Representative Springer, would you like to join us?
Thank you.
is this the only bill you're interested in today?
Yeah.
And okay, I was going to say we should pull up a chair and join us here.
No, that's the only thing. Okay. Representative Regan, Mr. Chairman, Representative Regan and Brown would like to be here, but they're tied up in Finance Committee. And I'm here as a representative of the subcommittee that drafted said resolution. And it's a part of many resolutions that has come from the Banking and Housing Subcommittee. And we addressed those areas where we thought that with the present situation, the state legislature should either get involved or provide some kind of a directive, if nothing else, moral support to the industry, and here primarily in the Anchorage area. The reason for that, for this resolution number 54, was that the committee uniformly felt that the state's interests were not being safeguarded, and there was a lot of abuse, and I won't say mismanagement, but not prudent business judgment exercised in regards to Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's holding of mobile units. First, we had low-income housing in with it, and then we took it out because after a lot of testimony and hearings, we found that the mobile home business was completely separate in its nature. What has happened is somewhat obscure yet, but basically the state is paying about $373,000 per month to mobile park owners for foreclosed units that are sitting there vacant. And while it is easy to understand that removing all those units would shake the whole market, especially in the testimony is nearly reserved to Anchorage because we are not aware of any larger scale problem any place else. There have been attempts made by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to negotiate with the mobile park owners for lowering their space. And that has been met with very little, if any, success. We have obtained the whole listing of the correspondence and the tabulation of the offers and requests that were made, and some of them showed some real nominal reductions. Some of them refused to negotiate at all. And the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation then entered into an agreement with a lot holder, and the proposal was to pull those units out, put them in a lot where they could be displayed, and hopefully could be sold easier than where they're at. After 20 units were moved, there was a stop order given to move any further units out of the trailer parks. That is when the subcommittee got involved, and we had then a lot of testimony on it. There was, of course, a pretty strong reaction from the mobile home owners because I don't blame them. That was a good deal all the way around. And that's what prompted that resolution, because we felt that the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation should get some stronger directive to act prudently and in the best interest of the state, which we felt was at present not the case. There are about 1,200 units involved, another 1,200 potential units involved. Some of them cannot be moved and probably should be destroyed. Some of them are substandard units built before 1972, substandard, they are not marketable. Some units are structurally of such a nature that they can't be moved, they should stay in place, but some of them can be absorbed by the market. There's been quite a bit of testimony that Alaskans are interested to obtain them for recreational purposes and stuff like that. And all we felt was we should do is give some indication to Alaska Housing Finance Corporation that the legislature is not pleased with the present management system, that the interests of the state should be more aggressively pursued, and basically said, do your prudent thing. And that's contained in the resolution.
Okay. Any questions for Representative Springer? Commissioner, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to what I have.
Oh, Representative Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, and I guess I can either go to Representative Springer or the Commissioner. And on,
on these 1,200 units, that they're not all in trailer parks that are that we're paying. Some of those we have moved off to. Some moved off. And you said they started to move 20 out of this one lot and then to stop where it came from to stop that.
I'd like to comment.
Yeah. Okay.
Because at the last board meeting it was an item discussion, so that the facts are in fact accurate for you. The lot question has been under consideration by management for as long as I've been on the board, and the former chairman said it was subject to discussion before I was on the board. There have been some negotiations, and it's ongoing, they've taken many different turns. The storage lot was contracted. Units were being moved. And the question came to my attention as chairman. And I talked to the staff and said, are you moving units if the trailer court owner is willing to charge space rent commensurate with what it costs to move them and store them? And I was told no, in those instances we would move the trailer. The concern was whether we were doing it just flexing our muscle or for economic reasons. Unbeknownst to me as chairman, that was evidently represented by some staff to some legislators as a stopgap. At the last board meeting, it was clarified. Staff said no one ever on the board told us to not move trailers. So we've had some management problems that are presently being addressed. And I think that this resolution is a good statement of what ought to be done and what the board has been advocating to be done. But I wanted to be very clear, because I had heard that Representative Springer understood the situation that needed was a top order issue. To my knowledge, there certainly wasn't from the board, and I think there's been some information that's incorrect presented to the legislature.
And Mr. Chairman, is your intent to hold this?
Yeah, Representative, I'd like to hold this till next week. There's some people on the teleconference that would like to testify, and some other folks that couldn't be here today that want to testify on this proposed legislation. There are some proposed amendments I have scribbled out here. I'd like to prepare a committee substitute and bring it back before the committee.
Okay, the only reaction I have, we were told in hearings that was the case. And the details are contained in the March 9th memorandum, which also shows the tabulation of the responses from the different park owners in Anchorage to the request for negotiations to lower the space rent to something that would be more defensible. So if that was a verbal written stop order, implied stop order, I can't react to other than what we hear in testimony.
Representative Springer, I'd really like to include that for all the members' packets, that tabulation of the responses.
It's contained in the files of the subcommittee there.
Okay.
There's a whole packet in there, and I don't know if that was passed down to committee or not.
No, it wasn't. Could we borrow the one you got there and get it back to
you? No, but I get to say, you can borrow it, sure. But that, I think, should come from the co-chair, either from Mr. Rieger or Ms. Brown.
Okay, we'll just have Steph call them and ask them for a copy. Or Katie, you're here now. Could we get a copy of that?
The backup on?
Yeah, the responses from the backup. Okay. Are there any further questions for Representative Springer?
No.
Thank you. I'd like to go to Anchorage at this time. This is a little different because we're using a different microphone system here. But if the folks in Anchorage can hear us. Is Ben Marsh there?
Yes, he is.
It works. Oh, okay. Would Mr. Marsh like to testify on this legislation?
Approaching the mic.
Hello?
access.
Everybody's just commenting it. But this microphone system picks up everything, and we're not used to that.
My name is Ben Marsh. I'm the executive secretary of the Alaska Trailer Court Association, and thank you for inviting me here this afternoon to talk to you. I'd like to make the committee aware of a couple of things. The Trailer Court Association has appointed a committee to meet with a group of the AHFC staff, and we did have such a meeting last week, the 30th of March, and at that time laid two proposals before AHFC, which I believe are to be transmitted to the board at of April, next Thursday. We have indeed negotiated, are negotiating reduced rates, or a reduced rates, at which we would hope that we could induce AHFC within the parks where they are, because we agree that units in parks are more saleable than they are. And the other proposal that we asked the AHFC to consider was to conduct bulk sales by park so that the park owners would have an opportunity to hit on those sales in their own parks. And we have an indication from most of our owners that they would be interested in doing that. If you have any questions, I would be glad to answer them, but we do request that Resolution 54 be held until after the AHFC board meeting next week. Good opportunity for a meeting of the minds at that time.
Okay, are there questions for the witness?
Maybe just a comment. Ben, this is Representative Furness. I appreciate hearing the response from the local area. I know that you've been very active in the association, and I know that your comments are coming as a result of that interaction, so thank you for the information.
Okay, I guess Mr. Lear isn't there any longer. I have a new list here, but is there Margaret Nelson?
You Mr. Lear is here.
Okay.
And Ms. Nelson are both here.
Okay, Ms. Nelson, did you want to testify?
No, she doesn't want to. She's going to have Mr. Lear testify.
Okay. Ron, do you want to testify now?
Okay, I don't have to put anything. Actually, Mr. Chairman, I was really more here to answer questions, but I think that Mr. Smith probably said really most everything I needed to say. Let me just go through a couple, though. I think Representative Copeland had suggested that we shouldn't be selling all the mobile homes outside the state. That has never been any of the recommendations to the board. We've certainly recommended that there should be some bulk sales outside of the area, say Anchorage, Fairbanks, or Juneau, to help reduce the supply, but never in the idea of trying to remove all the units. We suspect that any type of a program to deal with mobile homes will have a combination of things, including some bulk sales out of the area, some bulk sales within the area, some of our normal marketing. We're selling, say, about 40 a month. Taking some of the substandard units to the dump, a collection of activities. No one thing is going to be a panacea. Mr. Marsh noted that there had been a meeting between representatives from the trailer court industry and from HFC, and they had a couple recommendations. Those will, in fact, are in the staff recommendations to the board for the upcoming board meeting.
Okay, Mr. Lear, when's the next board meeting? When is that?
It's on the 14th at 10 p.m., and it'll be both for 10 a.m. as you pool there. We'll have a teleconference both Anchorage and Juneau.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Lear?
Nope.
Dr. Lear. Okay, thank you for your testimony today, sir. All right, is there any further members of the public either in Anchorage or here in Juneau would like to testify on this resolution? Representative Copeland?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I've been satisfied with the answer that I've received, so it's quite clear.
Okay. All right, then we're going to, the chair's going to hold this over and work on a committee substitute for this. And thank you for your testimony. Is the commissioner out in the hallway? Or?
He's going to come right. He had to go up to the Senate on something.
Okay, well then, is there anybody else from the Department of Commerce here that wanted to testify on 52?
The commissioner actually just wanted to testify for a couple minutes himself. We don't have a problem with
We can go on to 54, Senate Resolution 54. Mm-hmm.
He said he'd be right back.
Yeah, he'll be able to be back.
We'll take up 54 as soon as Tony gets back. This is the for the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Is there anyone here from the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee representing the sponsors of this resolution? Representative Boucher?
I'd like to.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I think this is an association of certified professional secretaries and professional legal secretaries. I think that of the administrative world, these persons, because not all of them are ladies, are the guts and backbone that make the business community run. I've had the pleasure of knowing them for a long period of time, and I think the fact that they are going to be recognized shows that there is a sensitivity in this particular period of time at Dallas. I strongly support it. And I'm sure that other members share the same viewpoint. But I can't say enough for it. As you well know, it is a good staff person behind you that puts that information out there in front of you that makes you be able to take you, I, as the rest of us, able to take the headline. They're never quoted, you know, Ginger Bain to such and such. And they probably prefer that way because up front they don't get any darts thrown at them. But I think in recognizing them, we are also recognizing professionals in and out of the organization. I know this is National Secretaries Week, but, you know, we might just do something like that. You're a very thoughtful person that tends to consider that it might well be that we have a recognition, a week or something like that, for people like this that make all of us hum down. So in saluting them, I salute the others.
Representative Ferns.
So, Mr. Chairman, I just had a question in light of that. The question is it true that the 41st representative, Representative Bain, wrote the workers' comp bill? Scratch that from
me. Hey, there are 40. I know I've got one. If she didn't pull a switch in the direction that I was going, I'd blow the clip every day.
Okay, Representative Menard.
Well, Mr. Chair, is it your intent to move this?
Okay. I don't know.
Go ahead.
Let's ask. Is there anybody here to testify on this piece of legislation? It looks like the committee is really moving along this way.
Well, you heard what I had to say about you.
Okay.
And I think I'm just the loudest mouth here. Nobody disagrees with that.
Just for the record, I'd like to point out that my professional secretary is male and my aide.
That is right. You notice I didn't say she's or what have you.
Representative Menard, you have a motion to
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Representative Boucher and all that's said. They're certainly the backbone of our operation.
There you go.
We appreciate it. So I would ask to move the resolution. What do we got here? CS for Senate Concurrent Resolution 54. As for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Yes. Hearing no objection. Motion carried by unanimous consent and it's under. So we doesn't have another committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Boucher.
I noticed that the day starts the 25th through the 29th. The governor is doing that. And today is the 7th, and I know how time has got way of getting by. Could you indicate to the rules chairman that you'd like to have this scheduled early so that we don't pass it after the day?
certainly we can pass that message on to them. Pass that on to them.
I can also tell you that the two secretaries in the Rules Committee are waiting on this.
All right. Okay. I see. All right. Okay. I just.
Okay. So while we're signing that one, the next matter before the committee is confirmation.
What did
they
say? It's never over till the paperwork's done.
Actually, the members have had the list of the particular individuals that are up today, and the chair's prepared a letter that simply states that there are no objections to the appointments listed on the calendar at this time. Is there anyone who wants to discuss any of these appointments?
You're going to have it all at one most, Mr. Chairman.
I'd like to, Representative Furness, unless anybody wants to talk about any particular nominee, Representative Menard.
Are they available on teleconference, or is Dr. Leach available on the...
Let me ask. In Anchorage, is Dr. Leach available?
This is Anchorage. No, he's not here.
Okay. Representative Menard, if there's anybody you'd like to hold over and specifically request that the chair make available, I can facilitate that for next week. I can try to do that.
I had some concerns on Dr. Leach and the relationship with these dog kennels in our Kennel Owners Association, and I just wanted to clarify some issues on that.
Well, I'll be happy to hold Dr. Leach's confirmation hearing over the next week, and then we can try to have him available to testify.
Good.
Would that be okay?
I appreciate that.
All right. Representative Copeland?
Yeah. Okay. We not object to the names, of course, with the appointment of Dr. Crest is
claimed for the literary.
Okay. Is there any objection to...
What's that?
The motion is go ahead and say that we have no objection to the other names with the exception of Dr. Leach at this time.
Well, I have no objection with Dr. Leach, but I do respect the request of a colleague here.
So we're just holding that one over. We're not making any pro or con on Dr. Leach at this time. We're just simply holding that one over until next week.
I concur, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right. Well, the only other matter to come before the committee today is HCR 52. This is another bill sponsored by the Rules Committee requested the Joint Economic Recovery Committee.
Well, the commissioner's getting there. Could I talk about that?
Certainly. Who's in voucher?
I'll go up there since I was the one that...
Won't you just do it?
Okay, that's what do I want to do?
You want to do?
Yeah.
It's not green. It's okay.
All right. Patience does not be my day for finding you.
Okay, now on the calendar are the remaining names up for confirmation, and the members may want to, we're going to set up a teleconference. If there's anybody you'd like to have us ask to show up there, or just feel free to get a hold of my staff, and we'll do that.
Mr. Chairman, let me make sure I understand. Now, the ones I have marked in green, those are the ones that we're acting on today?
Right.
Okay. These are the ones that I have a primary.
Split them into two groups, and then... Representative Boucher?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Representative H.A. Red Boucher, and I have been chairing the Joint Economic Recovery Subcommittee on Small Business, which introduced this particular resolution or thought of the process. And I noticed that the Department of Commerce and Economic Development has put a fiscal note of $150,000 on it, which I'm sure the commission will talk to. But let me set that aside for a minute, which in the final analysis I won't be able to set that aside. But let me talk about what I'm trying to get at here. And I know a little bit about the issue because one function of the Department of Labor, of which I have a relative in there. My son is the one that prepares the information out of the Department of Labor for employment and unemployment. They can't expand the various other indicators that are very important to the economy. For example, Representative Menard asked the question, what is your crystal ball say about the economy turning around? And I think every one of us are faced at some time during the course of the week of, is the economy up, the economy's down. I call it yo-yo economics. And one of the things, B, you wouldn't start on a long trip without an indicator as to how much gasoline you had in the tank. And I think many times that we do not put enough information in. Now, I asked my son this. I said, well, John, I said, how about savings account? How about other factors that go? Shifts in employment and so forth. And he said, the feds don't need that information. So, and it's difficult to gather together. So they just stay within the parameters of being federally funded. So that's one area. Then, as you are well aware, Mr. Chairman, we had a good deal to do with getting $300,000 into the Department of Labor's budget to study shifts in employment. So if you begin to take that budget and this budget and ICER out there, why a combination of the thinking ought to be able to come up with as accurate an information as we can now. And it's simply a matter of technology. I compare what we're doing here, which will probably carry the voice much better, than about 8 cans of tin sitting up here that nobody can hear on. And what we need to do, as we go down, it is more important that we have an accurate altimeter so we know where the bottom and the tops are. I submit, Mr. Chairman, that if we have to wait to decide if the economy is up or down until the figures of the Department of Labor, we got a lag. I think in the report that Mr. Erickson put out, and bear in mind, you hear employment. He admitted that we're about 6 to 8 months behind. We are selling when we should be buying. And I think it's absolutely essential for whatever we have to do. Probably one of the most essential things is to give this body the most accurate economic indicator that we can. We have the information here in the state. The banks have got a pocket of information. Labor has a pocket of information. And like so many other things, what I'm trying to do here is put a piece of legislation that will act as a catalyst. So if we get that information, it can be timely, in a timely manner, dispensed to us so that we can make the decisions. Most of the budget right now. We put $75 million out on the street, probably a year late. But that was the public's perception of, at that particular time. If we had put it out before, when the governor made his State of the State speech last year, when he said he was thinking about it, we might have averted some of the foreclosures and some of the problems that we're having today. And as you and I are both aware, Mr. Chairman, from the studies that were done on unemployment, it is the social impact of a family that can't put someone to work. So I think that it's important enough that we have the most accurate economic indicator that we can have. I am not saying that what Bill states, that should be the only particular thing in there. But the economists know what information needs to be in there. For example, and I'll wrap this up, Mr. Chairman. Consumer savings is a clear indication of the consumer's confidence in the economy. If the consumer confidence is down, savings go up, they're not in the stores, and people have to cut back and lay off. Now, there are parts of our economy, particularly in the retail market, that have been very healthy, but there were no indications in any of the reports. Well, that is so because most of what Mr. Erickson and the rest of the people have been talking about are related to employment. Candidly, I think they're 6 to 8 months behind the information power curve. Now, we can't make decisions based on the project. It's bad enough that we as a state are under that hanging sword by the string based on what happens in Saudi Arabia. So it becomes even more important that we have the most sophisticated information that the economic community can provide us so that we can make intelligent decisions for the future of our state.
Representative Boucher, I'm willing to go ahead and move the bill to the Finance Committee. I sit on the Commerce Budget Subcommittee.
And I appreciate that.
Arguing back and forth over how this fits in their budget because it's in the operating budget too, but it's one of the Chairman of Finance's proposed cuts. So that I'm willing to go ahead and move this on to Finance Committee and let them decide on the fiscal
Mr. Chairman,
portion.
May I respond to that?
But I've got a 3 o'clock meeting.
Okay, I understand that. So. The $150,000 is a big old horn sticking out on it now. I would like to go before Finance, and I think that the representative is right. I think that the figure of $150,000, which ICER is giving you, is something you should challenge and question. I don't challenge that amount of money is going to need, but I'm going to say the expertise that labor, what I would like to see is that department be responsible for coordinating the preparation of, instead of just putting another $150,000 into ICER's budget.
But what I'm saying is we've got to, you know, I'd like to move the bill for later.
Yes, sir.
In 3 minutes. Representative Copeland? Yeah.
Is
there any objection to moving both individual recommendations?
Thank you, sir. And what I want to do was just get something on the record regarding that. Right. There hasn't been any testimony.
Okay. I think that's all the matters coming before the committee today. We'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Motion carried. Simon. Bill, thank you.
Dave, mm-hmm. Are we off now?
Yeah.
Tell me, what is it? I mean, I was going to talk to Tony about it, and he's right. I mean, go.